Welcome to Old Trafford, Niger Branch.
Home of sly tackles, red cards, yellow cards, and 93rd minute screamers from outside the box.
Home to sure 3 points, trebles, and all Niger Red Devils around the world.
We are defenders, the vex, and strikers, I date ye.
So, adjust your shin guard, tie your boots, and increase your volume small.
Ready?
Now let the match day begin.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Red to the Bones podcast. I'm your humble host, Dale, and with me, I have a familiar voice. I don't want to say his face, but familiar voice. I have Caleb. We have two new guests on the show today. One is not so new. He has been on the show before. We have Keshi on the show, and we have Ola. I'll just leave it to them to give quick introductions of themselves. Ola, you go first, since you are the new one.
Yeah, so guys, good evening, guys. Yeah, my name is Olamide. The real of you actually. So we're just here to talk about my U and Bank and everything else.
Thank you very much. Keshi, you go again.
Yeah. My name is Kenshin, but you can call me OK. Yeah. Well, we live for agenda sometimes, but today I'll drop every agenda and try to be as honest as possible. Glory, glory, my United.
I find that really hard to believe. Moving on.
Well, time will tell.
Today we played Manchester City, and the result is not necessarily surprising. I'm sure everybody expected this to lose. In fact, I expected us to lose like 4, right? But we tried. We considered 3 goals. You know, one of them was a penalty that, you know, would cause a bit of debate. Ola, what are your thoughts on the game?
To me, actually, when I saw the lineup, I was feeling kind of weird about it because I didn't agree with the lineup. But coming into the game, I felt they actually started well. Although I felt they could have been more clinical at the beginning. Like, there were times that they actually had City on the road. And City hasn't actually been that good this season. Like, so, like, those period of those 5 minute spells, they could have actually hurt City more. Like, poor decisions. There were times that even McTominay was with the ball on the break and he actually didn't capitalize on City's slow start to the game, actually. But let's talk about that lineup. I actually don't agree with the lineup at all. I really don't know why Lindelof was starting at left back. And like I said, I did think somewhere last week when people were predicting their lineup and people mentioned Eriksen. And they were like, okay, Eriksen can play in and you have Amrabat or someone else cover his lapses. When you are playing against City, nobody's covering lapses for anybody. Everyone coming to City is coming to come to work if you are playing against Man City. Your 11 players have to be there to work, especially your midfield. You can't have a guy in midfield that cannot press and tell you that there's somebody here coming to cover his laps or something. And we know McTominay is not going to keep the position, and we even probably play McTominay higher up the field, which he actually did. I felt, although I didn't agree with that, McTominay starting, but it wasn't that bad because I believe Will is actually starting Man City. So if you have someone like McTominay to be pressing the early stages high up the field, like, it's actually a good idea. But I wasn't agree with that, it wasn't starting at all. Liability of people, even like from last season, I've been saying this thing from last season, not just this season. Everything is a liability of people, it just got worse this season. So, I wasn't expecting everything to start in the Man City game at all. One thing we'll be mentioning again, why is Bruno playing up with you? The thing about Man City is you just don't play midfielders that can press against Man City, you have to play midfielders that can press and as well within the ball. Because if you're playing against Man City, you need every moment of rest. Once you get the ball, that's your moment of rest. Holding that ball against Man City, playing it out. Dropping quick passes. If you get someone like McTominay, even if he wins the ball against Man City, you're not certain he knows what to do with the ball. But you have someone like Bruno, if he's getting the ball against Man City in the midfield, you know he has the capability to actually make something happen with the possession. So I really do not agree with playing Bruno on the right wing when you actually have a fit right winger. And the thing about Antonio is Antonio might not give you so much up front against Man City, but you're certain that he's going to do his pressing and he's going to cover up. And another lap that makes one Bruno plays on the right wing is a midfielder. So unconsciously, when he covers back, he presses into the midfield most of the time. He's standing on the flank. If you actually start Antonio, you won't have that much space Grealish had so much space. Like, they had a lot of joy on our flank.
Grealish and Guardiol, both of them, yeah, they were playing on that way.
On that flank with Dalot, and that's something Antonio would have covered up for if Antonio was starting. Even if you're saying that Antonio won't give you much effort, that defensive duty, you're saying that, and you need something like that. And I saw the Guardiola's lineup, and immediately I saw that lineup, I was like, bro, this thing that Bernard is in against Guardiola is going to suffer for it. Doku, I knew Doku was not going to start, because Doku actually likes taking on the players himself. He likes being the one to make the final position. English cutting, he uses his runner every time. When it comes to all these cutting passes and someone will score play across, English does his best thing. And that's what Guardiola does against Man. He knows we can't keep up with that. Our lack of concentration in defense is well known. So he knows English will cut him, he will cut him back for someone to square play or someone to cross. So I know English was going to start. And English was going to be harder to keep up with, because Doku will probably dribble one guy. He will probably, most of the time, he will hold on to the ball himself. But Grealish will release it, he will cut it, he will come in, cut him back. So maybe I told Grealish, I was like, nah, that is so far today. And I actually didn't agree with that lineup at all. Even though I thought the match we actually played well at starting on the start, that penalty was actually to go good. And it actually turned everything around. And once, you know, once, especially in a game like this, concede first, you know, there's almost no possibility for a comeback. But me, I felt everything actually got the lineup wrong, totally wrong.
Yeah, thank you very much for that, because I sort of hold the same sentiment in terms of, you know, Bruno on the right wing, Eriksen playing and all that. But I just thought, you know, he probably wants to have his two most creative players on the pitch against a Man City team that is dominated. And he was probably thinking that will help us hold the ball more and stuff. But you are always going to lose the midfield battle against Man City. And
going to win the midfield battle against Man City, so there's no point coming.
There's no point. But in the last few games, we've used our wing a lot, and it's been fairly successful, if I may say. So I was quite wondering why he abandoned that kind of play, and then because the moment where Dalot was just free on the other side, and then we were trying to force those triangles and all those passes on the other side, and Massey just kept collecting the ball, and then he comes back to try to force those passes, and I was like, why can't you just switch it to the other side and give yourself breathing? Dalot is free on the other side, switch the play, you have the ability to do that. But if you are trying to pass to Amrabat, trying to pass to Eriksen, trying to pass to Rashford, trying to do play around the middle, you can't do that against Man City.
And the way Man City press, Man City overwhelm you, they swarm you with pressure. Like, they come, 3-4 guys come to that tight angle that you are playing at. So if you are playing against Man City, you have to be ready to switch the play. You cannot be playing out Man City. If you watch the game against Arsenal have to play 1-2-3 passes, and that they switch it immediately.
To be honest, that's what I saw in there. Because I watched the first half properly, but second half was on and off. But the first half, that was what I noticed in the first half. And I'm like, why are we not doing this? And towards the end of the first half, when we started doing that, we were able to, you know, push Man City back. You can see the chance Rashford had to keep in dominance. A few other chances that we got at the end of that first half. And I was hoping we would come out in the second half and do the same thing. But I think the goal they scored just lowered the momentum. And I wouldn't say we played well. It was... I couldn't see anything positive in that match, to be honest, in my own opinion. I couldn't see anything positive because we were trying things that were not working and we're not willing to change it. And it seemed like that match had gone on for 1,000 minutes. We won't be creating a chance not to drop a score. That's what I feel about the match. And it's sad to see that this is where we've come to at the club. Mr. Caleb, let's have your quick thoughts about the match. You're clearing your throat. You already said you did not watch the match. I'm not going to ask you about your thoughts about the match.
I don't need to watch the match to give my thoughts about the match. My thoughts about the match will be pretty much the same thing about every other match. We have a very poor structure, and normally one would want to blame the coach for the poor structure. But then, coming from last season into this season, the coach already stated clearly what he wanted to play. Players like McTominay didn't really fit into his philosophy. In fact, a player like McTominay doesn't fit into Ten Hag's football philosophy. Now, the coach tried to dispose McTominay. It was clear. He wanted a new midfielder. In fact, he wanted two new midfielders. He wanted a box-to-box. He got Mount for that. He wanted a holding midfielder. That is six. He got Amrabat for that. Okay, what is McTominay still looking for in Man United? Now, McTominay went for international break. It looked like he picked a purple patch. And then people started clamoring. let him play, let him play. We are this, we are that. And now the coach has to find a way to accommodate shit players that have purple patches. Meanwhile, the players they are supposed to build around, the core of our team is what is the core of any team is what is supposed to help you to get success. It's supposed to help you to reach success. Look at Man City, you know the core. If players like Rodri was suspended for 3 games, everybody saw what Man City played now. When Cruz, Casemiro, and Modric were not playing for Madrid, everybody knew what was going on. Okay, something is definitely missing. Now, Bruno is supposed to be part of the spine of our team. We are moving the spine to the right wing to accommodate McTominay and Eriksen because they have picked purple, their own purple patch. That is ridiculous. I don't need to watch the game to know that kind of setup. So now the coach is trying to implement his philosophy. Now, like I was saying, what is McTominay looking for in the team when the coach is trying to integrate players that he actually thinks fit his philosophy, people like Amrabat and Mount, into the team? Why is McTominay still in our team? What is the purpose? What does he do better? Okay, he scores goals. Okay, then why did we buy a striker if you want the bulk of our goals to be coming from midfield? Okay, he scores goals. Does he score goals better than Bruno Fernandes? Does he pass better than Fulham? What does he do? He scores goals. Okay. In a setup like Scotland, they don't have a Bruno Fernandes. There's no way they'll have a Bruno Fernandes and they'll be relying on McTominay for goals. There's no way they'll have Mason Mount and they'll be relying on McTominay for goals. It's because they are shit that they rely on scraps. And the football they play is not beautiful or pretty. It's pretty much like the Scottish themselves, just rugged and dogged football. Bash it and clash it till you get a result. That's not what Man United is for. They said he has the DNA. Now, when we are talking about that now, when we are talking... Oh, sorry. Pardon my language.
Don't underrate the passion of the player, please.
No, I won't underrate passion. Now, I said something in the group. I said every manager that comes, they criticize them and say they are not playing the Man United way. Now, I read something on Twitter. Ferguson was talking about when they came to interview him and ask him about the job. And he said, okay, he didn't only want to win. He wanted to win in a certain type of way. He wanted to build the club and he wanted to develop the youth. Bobby Charlton was one of the directors that came to late Sir Bobby Charlton was one of the people that came to interview him. That was his first encounter with the man. He was like, okay, this is exactly what you want. It's not just about passion. Passion without talent, to what end? It's like Speed Darlington in Vico because they have passion for music. Well, okay, I even stream their songs because they have passion. Do you get me? Passion without quality. Of what use is it when you can get passion with quality? Valverde is a passionate player. You can't compare him to McTominay. Okay, you say they have similar ball striking. Okay, outside that, what else? What else does he offer? Is Bruno not a passionate player? Rooney ran his socks into the ground. Rooney ran his ACL, his Achilles, his bones, his marrow into the ground for Man United. Wasn't he technically gifted? Look at Ryan Giggs. Ryan Giggs gave his soul to the club till he was 40 plus. Now, if it is just passion, we shouldn't have let them cleverly go now. We should have just held on to them and say, look, okay, let's continue. Shebi Lingard was showing passion. Didn't we later discard him? Okay, if you are saying, okay, the thing is, if we can't eat our cake and have it. Okay, we are saying passion. No shades to Rashford here. But Rashford is the kind of player that the way he plays, you say, okay, this guy is very passionate about the way he plays. I know both of you are Rashford fans. I'm not trying to start a riot here. But then, okay, now you can't now say, okay, this is what works for Rashford. Then Rashford now, the reason why we are keeping Rashford is because Rashford has some sort of technical quality that you don't see everywhere. But when you talk about the passion aspect, Rashford lacks it. Rashford is a very laid-back guy, very carefree on the field. But look at McTominay. So if the kind of player that we that Man United, that the kind of players that grew Man United are people like Roy Keane, people that balance both the passion and the technical brilliance. People like Paul Scholes, people like David Beckham, people like Phil Neville, Gary Neville, Wayne Rooney. People that, you know, if you look at Ronaldo now. So passion, we say passion, which passion is in it? So I don't need to watch the match to know that yes, there are some things that just won't work. So we're saying coaches should play the Man United way. What about the players? Do the players understand what it means to play for Man United? We call ourselves the biggest club in the world. We have players that when they go for their country, it is by the grace of God they start. Rashford is not guaranteed a starting shirt in this country. Anthony is not guaranteed a starting shirt in this country. We paid 100 million euros for Anthony. Now this is where the people working behind the curtain. So this is where they come into play. You can't have a sporting director that actually knows football. If the coach, you tell the coach, Anthony, we have many profiles like Anthony, and you start sorting them out early in the transfer window. You don't have to wait. It has become a pattern. Man United have to wait till deadline day to get major transfers over the line. Always, always, always. You can't say the coaches are responsible for this because different coaches, same old story. Players turn on the coaches. The players don't want to play for the coach. Something is definitely wrong somewhere. I was telling guys in the group yesterday that, see, I can't drag this coach no matter what he does. If this coach relegates Man United, I won't speak bad about it. No matter what happens, because the people that are at fault are the people that are at fault. Bring the different coaches, it's the same results you will see. When you started this, you said you were expecting a loss. If I'm going to be honest, I wasn't expecting a loss because I don't know. No matter the circumstance, I don't ever go into the Manchester derby thinking I'm going to lose. And this was one of the reasons why I loved Solskjaer so much. That bragging rights. We're not winning the league, but that bragging rights that Pep cannot come out and say, okay, he dominated Man United, he did Man United this, all these cheeky statements that we'll be making after the matches like he was doing with Mourinho. He couldn't do that. Pep changed his tactics because he kept on getting pummeled no matter what he tried to do. Hold the ball for 90 minutes, you still collect Egba. Complete 1 million passes, you will still collect Egba. Overload one side, switch to the other side, cut back, do this. Do like Choir Master on the touchline, you will still collect Egba. So this is a derby. You don't have, how are you going to a derby and be collecting 3-0 and you said you're expecting us to lose? I'm always expecting us to lose. We spent money last summer, we spent money this summer, and we are losing 3-0 to Man City. For what reason? If I start to complain, I don't think
we don't have that time. I understand it.
So let me just cut it short.
Yeah, moving on, we're going into the player in focus.
Okay.
So the player in focus for today is Sofyan Amrabat. How well do you think he has settled into the club?
But now I can actually see, let's just say six. I'm actually not spending him down yet. Actually looks decent. Or he looks, hasn't adjusted to the Premier League yet. Getting into some challenges late, and he's actually over aggressive sometimes. Fouls a lot. So I feel he hasn't adjusted to the Premier League yet, but he actually is not a bad signing. It's a run of games in the midfield, he will actually start getting in. So I'll probably just say solid 5-6.
Yeah, fair enough, because I kind of think the same thing, because obviously when he first came in, he was playing at left back, and then he went into midfield. I think the midfield is the kind of midfielder that, you know, he keeps things ticking, you know, keeps things simple, you know, get the ball, get it out of defense, play pass forward. And I like the way he switches play, which I was surprised he didn't do enough. I like the way he switches play. He's always precise and concise. Very simple. No tight. He's a very for me. I think he's a very tidy midfielder, right? Like you said, he has not adapted to the pace of the Premier League. It makes certain fouls that you are saying nah, shouldn't be making as a midfielder. But over time, I think you would get used to it. What's your assessment of Sofyan Amrabat?
Before I talk about Amrabat as a player, I have to talk about something first. Structure, no matter how good a player is, if the structure is fucked up, the player will be exposed, especially in a position like DM. If the pressing is not right, no matter how good you are as a marker one-on-one, if you are 2v1, if you are 3v1, you'll get exposed. Okay, that being said, like Ola said, he started out of position, yes, but then he showed his passion and he has showed his quality on the ball. Yes, his off-ball movement is nice. He knows how to step into the right areas. Yes, he has not caught up with the pace of the Premier League yet, so he still looks kind of sluggish. But then, he didn't have a pre-season. He didn't have a proper pre-season. And I think when he joined our squad, he joined injured. So, I think he needs a run of games. And he needs a run of games beside a stable partner. You want a good midfield base. Since you are not playing a 4-3-3, you want to use a double pivot, he needs a solid partner, someone that you understand, because most times the pivot, no matter what kind of dynamics are involved in the pivot, you need to understand each other. Even if your sole job is to sit, in the case of Casemiro and Eriksen last season, sometimes you still need to push forward. And if you push forward, let's say you want to progress the ball with the ball at your feet, like you want to run with the ball instead of progressing through pass, your partner will have to cover for you. Your partner will have to cover for you. So, and this comes with chemistry. You need to understand each other. You need to play for a while with each other. Okay, when I'm in such a position, chances of pass are very low. I might want to drive and dribble, or I might want to do a quick interchange with you to open up some space and stuff like that. But okay, that being said, I'll give him like a six or seven. But the team really isn't really playing well, so you can't give him anything above that.
Yeah, fair enough. Philip, guy, are you with us now?
Yeah, I'm with you now.
Thoughts on Amrabat?
Yeah, so for Amrabat, right? I think I share the same sentiments that with Keshin. I'll say a six. One, he didn't have like a preseason, right? Secondly, he came in injured. Thirdly, when he made his debut out of possession, and he did that like twice. Yeah, and also our midfield has been nothing short of, I mean, Guzman, right? So I think he needs more time. He will need more time before we actually say this is what we are, right? But from the glimpses that we've seen in the matches that he has played, right, I would say one is, like you said, he's steady on the ball. He keeps it simple. Not playing forced passes, not launching.
I'm not stand for that case.
So yeah, he doesn't do that, right? So he keeps it simple. He keeps the ball moving at the right pace, and I think for a DM, that's like what we want to see primarily, right? Not someone who gives the ball away open and loses the ball cheaply. So I think for now, yeah, six is okay. 6/10. Yeah, that's proper.
That partnership that Kinshe was talking about is actually also affecting it. Because there's one thing for a midfielder, you actually need to build partnerships. But the thing I've noticed about this Man-U's midfield is actually there's no pattern to actually say that you're building a partnership with this guy. So let's say Amrabat today is playing with Eriksen, tomorrow he's playing with McTominay, next tomorrow he's playing as a 4, next tomorrow he's playing as the 8. Like, there's no communication, there's no run of games to actually build a partnership with a particular guy. So we have different, all our midfielders actually have different profiles. And the annoying part is they actually don't have the kind of makeshift talents that, let's say, most of them are actually not versatile. McTominay, we feel he can play deep, but he actually can't play deep. Eriksen right now cannot, he's not like an 8. He actually can't play 10. He can't play deep too right now. So Amrabat does not have that, he has not had that run of games to actually build a partnership. But let's say he plays like 4 games, or out of 4 games, he plays 3 with Eriksen. He already knows his role with Eriksen. I'm sitting deep. Eriksen is actually operating. He's playing those passes. And Bruno is giving the final passes. So he understands his role that, okay, this is what I'm doing with this guy. Unless he has like 3-4 run of games with McTominay actually playing. He knows McTominay is going off the ball. He knows I have to step up more with the ball. Unless he plays with Casemiro with like 3 games, he knows, okay, I have to have more of the ball in this kind of matchup. I'm playing with Casemiro. Casemiro will cover for me. I have to move with the ball. I have to try and take some risk to play forward passes and so. But today is actually, it's almost as if he's having different roles every day. I'm playing the 4 today. I have to hold the ball more because the guy I'm playing with, my family is running off. He's not coming back to receive the ball. Next you know, I'm playing with Eriksen. Eriksen is dropping a whole lot. He's coming to receive the ball. Now I have to play the pass to him almost every time I get the ball. So you can't actually understand your role if you're actually switching matchup almost every match day. You are playing with this guy today, you are playing with that guy tomorrow. I think now right now, the only thing that you can say, our midfield cannot even boast of a perfect combination right now. Almost every team has a different lineup that you can say, okay, yeah, these are the midfield that these are midfielders that are starting, except one is injured. Man right now, even if Casemiro is fit, even if everyone is fit, you can't say who they're not actually going to. Tomorrow you can actually play Eriksen and Casemiro and play McTominay, and you just wonder, oh, who is going to do this, who is going to hold the ball. He just switches his combination around.
Yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah.
The only thing ahead in that is justice for McFred. Moving on.
Justice for McFred. Yes, now McFred was a good partnership. was because our CBs could progress the ball just fine. But when everybody got that scope, they casted now. Because when Ragnick came, Ragnick wanted both of them to be seeing the ball. Ragnick was expecting six that could progress ball. Only Fred could. McTominay was trash.
I think it was trash.
Sharp, the format casted. So, I'm going to see.
I'm going to say something about what Ola said, right? That's like one of the things that is actually affecting this team or affecting Ace right now, because the thing is, right now, Ace doesn't have that luxury to build a partnership. The time, that luxury of time that you would have gotten if the team was actually getting results, right? That time that would have gotten to actually build a mutual partnership between, say, Amrabat and Casemiro, or Amrabat and Mount, right? For these players to integrate into the team, he doesn't have it. What Ten Hag is trying to do right now is anybody with any sort of form, any sort of gets into the team because he wants results. That's what he's doing.
Can I counter that statement?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. The only time you say something like that is a coach that is looking for a smash and grab. I don't think Ed is smash and grab. I think Ed has implemented his philosophy. The only reason why he can't is because things didn't start off the way he wanted. Now, all these injuries now, they of course were. And again, I told you, there's a lot of drama going on around it. All this kind of stuff, they make it difficult for you to actually focus on. Now, you cannot come focus. Let's say he has 50% of his to work. You can't focus the entire 50% on getting the team to play better, because there is always one drama or the other surrounding whatever work is doing. And lastly, I feel the board. Yeah, see, I started this with saying, why is McTominay still in the club when the coach, he obviously doesn't fit into the coach's plan? Now, after everything that the board said, he's our youngest senior midfielder. That was the excuse they used, that they didn't sell him. Our youngest senior midfielder. I've never had bullshit like that before in my life. So they found a reason not to sell him, meaning he's in their plans. Now, I was saying something that without player power, part of the reason why we played so well last season was because player power looked like it had dipped. And why did it look that way? Because Ten Hag was able to deal with Ronaldo. Now, this season, after they sent the girl out, the way they sent the girl out, Ten Hag thought, okay, the kitchen is all mine. Let me cook what I want. Now, Ten Hag wanted to sell Maguire, McTominay. The club didn't let it happen. Now, when stuff like that happens, other players will feel entitled. I think that's what gave birth to this Sancho, whatever it is. This is where entitlement comes in. When the coach says, okay, this player doesn't fit into my plans, I want to get him out of the club. And club say, no, find a way to make it work. It's not only cause disharmony in the group, because some players know, okay, my level of my football level, my talent is much better than this. I fit into this guy's plans. Okay, like, if you are going to keep McTominay, why buy Mason Mount? It defies logic now. Now, the coach obviously won't mount. So, what is McTominay looking for in the team?
Exactly what I'm saying.
So, I don't think he's rewarding purple patch. It is the club that wants it that way. Some players, this player must find a way to play.
It's not just club players. Even Eriksen, right? The reason why Eriksen now is getting game time is because of his purple patch on international duty.
All right.
And he made a comment on that on... The interviews,
It's time to wrap it up.
Yeah, so I think it's not just the academy players, right? Players with any sort of form, purple patch, that are like saying, they are getting their passes right, they are scoring goals, they make that thing. People that require some sort of integration or like fitness before they, or like game time before they gain their own fitness, they still like spend some time on the bench. And I would say, just look at Mount, look at Reguilón, look at Varane, look at Antony. There's no reason why Antony should not have played this match. I see no reason why. He said tactics, but I don't believe it. There's no reason why Varane should not have played this match. I actually see no reason.
Accommodating players with purple patch. Okay, see, there's this same thing Eriksen. Matic did it in 2019 when Ole started playing McFred. Matic was like, Ole has the club, Ole has the quality in the team to challenge for the Premier League that he is supposed to be playing while on international duty. You can go and check. Ole started finding a way to play Matic. See, this is the player power I'm telling you about. When a coach finds a system that works for him, you won't come and start saying, okay, you're one senior man, you're one big boy. When Pjanic went to Barcelona and he was not seeing game time, almost didn't fit into the club's tactics. Not he was going to sit in India, was going to change that. He would have gone to Bartomeu or Laporta, whoever it is that was the president then, and said, okay, see, it is in my contract. I'm supposed to be playing, blah, 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 and they will listen to him. Hazard, when he came back from injury, he couldn't go and say, okay, I'm going to be benching Vinny. I have a bigger name. No, this is how it should be. This coach, from what I've seen, is ready to reward whoever it is that actually fits into his plan rather than big name. But player power at the club is where players can come out and say, okay, I want this, I want that, and they'll get it the way they want it. I think that's what Sanchez tried to do. I told Sanchez to solo. So that's it for me.
Say a very big thank you to our guests, Ola and Keshin.
Please don't mention. It was a pleasure.
Until we meet again, until another match day.
Yeah.
Enjoy and have a very wonderful week.
Hope say una enjoy the match, sha.
We don't dribble, oh.
We don't shoot our shots.
We don't tear nets.
And we don't put 3 points for pockets. Till next Sunday on Red to the Bones.
Tell your friends, may they come see waiting you save don't see.